Rainy Monday.
Could you please share with the listeners what you just told Jasmine? Because I thought that was fantastic.
Jasmine's having a
hard day.
Yeah, but...
Not her fault. There's just a lot of stuff that happened today. And, you know, she's trying her best and doing her best.
But none of it is really affecting us. It's only affecting herself.
Yeah.
So we haven't noticed she's having a bad day, which is a bad coworker.
Yep.
Even though she said she's having a bad day like 100 times.
Right.
We just did a little segue when Domati Pongo finished his news. Mm-hmm. And we went right into the stream intro. And I said to Jasmine, that was the best segue ever.
Now, did you say that because you truly believed it or just trying to find something to make her day a little bit brighter?
I kind of forgot she was having a bad day.
Oh,
so
you did?
I'm very immediate. So it was like, oh, that rocked.
Oh.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Solid transition.
And after I did that, because I trust my heart, then I realized, boy, that would probably pump her up today. But that wasn't my
first. Did
it
work, Jazz? Did that pump you up a little bit? Yeah. All right.
That was our best ever.
it was really good. It was very, very good.
I hate dead air.
Yeah.
I hate audio mistakes. So that was just smooth over everything.
Right. Right. But you know they're inevitable. There's nothing you can do. You know,
there's everything you can do.
Well, but stuff happens.
Yeah, but if it's directly our fault, that was teamwork right there. That was like we were doing the relay team. And I handed you the baton and you took it.
Ran with it. Yeah.
You're just upset that you weren't part of it.
I wouldn't know what to do. On the days you're not here, you should hear those transitions.
Can I just say I feel really bad that on the days I'm not here because this kind of comes naturally to me. I've been doing it a long time. You did it overnights. You did it. You know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But then now you don't do it, so you don't think about it. And then when I leave, you're a little rusty, and I feel bad leaving you.
I've always attributed it to, if you're a Star Trek fan, you know that console that Lieutenant Uhura sat in front of with a lot of buttons and lights, and you'd watch it at home, and you go, boy, if I ever had to do that job, the Enterprise would crash because I just see colors and buttons and lights and she just hits stuff. Well, that's how it is for me every time I run the board. I see buttons and colors and lights. And Jasmine will say to me in my headphone, she'll go, hit the button. And I look up and there's 80 buttons. So I go, all right. And then I hit a button. And sometimes it's the right button, but it's hardly ever.
Typically, in any given day, there are right now 30 buttons.
Yeah, that's too many.
On any given day, you're only going to use 4 of them.
Right.
Maybe 5.
Right.
And they kind of are labeled.
Yeah. So you're in your version of this, I'm reading the labels because in my version of it, I just look down and I see buttons and I go, I should really hit a button. I know something needs to be done, so I'll hit this button. And then we hear a commercial for David Hochberg. He doesn't complain. He's happy with it.
You know, when you haven't done something for a while, you get back to it, but you're a little rusty.
Yeah.
When I didn't drive after my knee surgery, I wasn't supposed to drive for 4 weeks, but in 2 weeks I drove. But even in that 2 week time, it was like,
you lose it.
Oh, this feels a little weird. And then in 30 seconds, you're back on track.
Well, my goal when I, and you know, because you were there, when I got into radio was to never, ever run the board because I thought, what a horrible thing that will be for all parties involved if it comes to that. But then at night, I didn't have, it was just me. So I had to run the board. I learned to do it. But there was a period here at this station, I can't speak for other stations, where they were making it so that if you were on the air, you also had to run the board with only a few exceptions. I can't remember who, but
that's because everybody should run their own board. Back in the old days of radio, like, I don't know if Dick Biondi runs his own board.
Oh, really?
Because the way that station was set up was the announcer was in the announcer booth,
yeah.
And then there was someone in the producer's booth who kind of controlled most of the stuff.
Right.
But you can run,
who's the music guy that you, there's somebody from the world of music that did morning radio here in Chicago for a while. It's not Herbie Hancock. Who is it? Not Miles Davis. Who is it? There's some musician. When I worked at The Light, he was in another studio, and he would do mornings or middays.
Yeah. What was his name?
And, you know, Bob Kessler.
Al Jarreau.
It's not Al Jarreau.
I can't remember who it was.
Bob Kessler, who works here at WGN in the newsroom, Bob ran his board, and Bob did kind of, no disrespect to him. I don't even remember his name. So even
Ramsey?
Ramsey Lewis.
Yeah.
It was Ramsey Lewis.
I was thinking Gordon Ramsay, but no.
Bob Kessler, I'm serious. And I'm really bad at anything electronic, so I imagine Ramsey Lewis has the same affliction
he's
I do.
He's a musician.
Right, he's a musician. He's got that.
He should know how to do the buttons.
Ah, he was awful at it. So if you'd watched him through, no matter what happened on the show, Bob Kessler did it, and you would assume if you were listening that it was Ramsey Lewis. And even if you passed them in the hall and said, hello, Ramsey, like in the morning, I'd go, hi, Ramsey. And then he'd look at Bob, and Bob would go, hi, Bill, like that. Like, he didn't know.
He didn't know what button to hit the intercom.
I don't know what to hit.
Yeah. I love all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because when I started, I had to do it myself because you were playing music. You couldn't, they wouldn't pay for somebody to come in.
Right.
You had to queue up a record album, Bill.
I would not have survived in those days.
I loved it. I'm a little bit of a gadget girl. But I do feel guilty when I take a day off and then all of a sudden it's like, boy, I'm listening and Bill's in charge, but you do a fine job.
I try my best.
You do.
Those accolades go to Jasmine, though, because I, you know, there's a lot of looking up. It's like, what do I do now? Hit the blue one.
Does she roll her eyes?
Yeah. Sometimes you can hear that on the air. That's fine.
Boy, if people could hear us rolling our eyes on the air sometimes.
It goes on a lot. It goes on a lot. And as long as we're complimenting coworkers, Doma Tipango, who just did the news for us, also now moonlights on Channel 9 on television.
You saw him this time? Because I saw him last time.
I didn't see him, but he does the Cubs promos.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when there's a Cubs series coming up, he'll do that thing like, are the Cubs going to make the Pirates walk the plank? You know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He does a great job. He's so good at it. I'd be watching the games anyway, but I go, put it on now. I want to watch it now. But you got to wait till, you know, the series starts.
He's a good guy.
Yep, yep.
I don't know where to begin.
Why do you say
I just, on the other part of the show, on 720 AM, we had Phil Andrew on, who was a victim of Lori Dann, and I watched the WGN TV news story about him.
Yeah.
And I felt it was necessary to ask where he got shot, and then when he answered where he got shot, it was astounding to me.
In the chest.
In the chest and went through both lungs pancreas, and it's like...
No, he said that it went through, but he also said that the bullet was lodged. So did it go through organs and then lodge toward the back of his back? I was unclear on that.
See, here's what I don't understand about bullets, and I got to be honest with you, I hope I never firsthand have to understand this.
Yeah.
But like when I watch various cop shows, or even sometimes The Walking Dead, I know that the key is you want an exit wound. You don't want it to be in you.
It's better to have the bullet to go through you
than stay in you.
But it you could also die. I mean, that's not a sure telltale sign that you're going to live. You know, if it goes through your heart.
Well, yeah, it depends where you get hit.
Your brain is bad, too.
We are just so naive.
There's a bunch of places that are really, really bad, but that every once in a while, like, you know, Rocky Laporte?
Right? The comic?
From the world of stand-up comedy. Rocky has been shot 3 times in his life. He's been shot 3 different times. And there's no...
And he's still funny?
Yeah. He
that
wasn't funny until he got shot a couple times. I used to work him in the old days. He wasn't funny at all. Then he got shot a bunch of times. Then he became really funny. Because he didn't want to be shot anymore. So it goes, I better do something to make myself more redeeming.
Did he also learn how to dance so people wouldn't shoot him?
Yeah.
Dance.
Yeah. So, I mean, it depends on a bunch of factors, but you can be shot and live a normal life, or you could be shot and then that's your last day on Earth. It runs the gamut.
Yeah, I hope to go through my whole life without...
Never being shot.
Yeah.
Me too. I do everything I can for that to be a reality. Including asking I'll see strangers and I'll go, hello, I'm Bill. Please do not shoot me for any reason. I don't want to do anything that makes you want to shoot me. And then I give them gum. Here's some gum. Enjoy.
Another thing, and if you didn't hear it, just please go to the podcast and look for Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder when we talked to Phil Andrew. And also, he brought a student from North Lawndale College Prep.
Audrey.
She's a junior. Audrey Wright is her name. And, I forgot my point.
All right.
You asked her a question.
As I am apt to do.
Oh, God. I really
can't remember.
She
answered it.
She said she wasn't scared to go to school.
Yeah.
I completely forgot it. I, I was just a lead in, into some updated news that has happened right now from ABC News. Oh, you asked if we should not mention the name of the gunman.
Right.
And her answer was kind of surprising to me.
She says, yes, that they need to be exposed. Other people have said recently, David Hogg, who's one of the Parkland survivors, wrote a piece yesterday, excuse me, saying we're giving them what they want. If we're saying their names all the time, we're giving them the immortality that they're looking for. And I don't know which is the right answer there, because as somebody who's in the business,
we gotta reveal the facts.
It's one of the most important parts of the story is not just the person's name, but the background. We're always looking for a motive, and all that plays into the narrative of the story. However, if you were one of the victims of this, you say to yourself, well, now the other victims' names will be forgotten quickly, and the shooter's name will live on forever. And why is that fair?
It's not fair, but it's a reality, because unfortunately there are typically more victims than there are suspects.
That's true, but aside from it being a numbers game, it's just the way a story is told. The story that's the fascinating element to us is the person who committed the crime.
Right, because you can't believe someone could do something like that.
Right, because you say even on your own darkest day, when things are at their worst, you would never consider this. So what made that person? What happened prior to this that made this person snap? And with the victims, you go, and this is sad, but it's true. You go, they were just living their life. They didn't have any hand in this at all, except being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Innocent victims.
Yeah.
I did hear some reports where the gunman admitted to police, I believe, as he was being questioned, that he did not shoot people he liked. He'd see people, and if he liked them, he bypassed.
Let them go.
Yeah.
There was a story last night, and I don't know enough about this to go into great detail, but apparently one of the girls that was shot at by him, he had shown some romantic interest in her, and she was not interested in
him. She turned down his,
wanted to go out on a date.
Advances,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now news comes out of ABC that the gunman who opened fire inside the Santa Fe High School Friday morning allegedly repeated "Another One Bites the Dust" during the carnage. This is according to a survivor. He was playing music, making jokes, had slogans and rhymes that he kept saying. This according to student Trenton Beasley. He said this on Good Morning America today. Every time he'd kill someone, he'd say, "Another one bites the dust." It's just astounding to me. 8 students, 2 teachers were shot and killed, and so 13 other were wounded. And then my question too is, his father owned the guns that he used.
Yeah.
And from what I've been hearing, they weren't adequately locked up.
Yeah.
So isn't there a responsibility
there?
And shouldn't that be a felony? Like, if you misuse a weapon, isn't that a felony? Shouldn't this be something that...
I kind of think it falls under the bracket of, you know how they always say this about your house? Like, you go, you can have any security system on your house, but if a burglar really wants to get in your house, they're going to find a way. Don't you also think that in the same vein...
Nope, because this is supposed to be locked up, and if it isn't locked up...
Yeah, but
if you have a pool in your yard, you're required to have a fence around
it. Sure.
So if you have a gun,
right.
This is why I don't like guns. And for all the people who have them legally and take care of them and respect them and abide by all the laws, I'm not talking to you people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really not. But there are people. Listen, I know sometimes I will wear a blazer and not feel like hanging it up, so I'll just drape it on a chair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have a gun and you don't lock it up and make sure that no one has access to it, it happens. I get it, but it can't happen anymore.
And yet it keeps happening.
I know.
Right. Right.
I don't know if his father had them legally. I believe he did.
I haven't seen anything to lead us to believe that they were illegal weapons. So
it's just, you know, things that are dangerous, I try to keep out of my kids' hands.
Well, yeah, because you're using common sense. But common sense goes out the window with stories like this. There's no more common sense.
And then when my kids turned into teenagers, the neighbors were all talking about how they started locking their liquor cabinets.
Yeah.
And I said, well, first of all, we don't really have a liquor cabinet. We have...
You just leave it out in the open.
Well, it's... Yeah.
All over the house.
Not all over the house. There's one
location. I'll be in the bourbon room if you need me.
I wish.
We'll see you there.
I wish I had a bourbon room. But we just have like a built-in in our dining room that all the bottles are just sitting there.
Yeah.
And beer's always in our refrigerator.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? Don't, first of all, I never go out, which is not really intentional, but maybe it is because I can keep an eye on things.
Oh.
Plus, I don't like to share.
Oh.
If somebody drinks my beer,
you're going to know it.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, what the heck's up with that? My mom had very few bottles of alcohol in her house. And I'm telling you, my mom very rarely drank. Every once in a while, she'd have like a half a can of beer, maybe a couple times a week. Just, I feel like a beer, and she couldn't finish it all. But we had liquor bottles in a cabinet that didn't lock, and the stuff was there so long that one year on a holiday, someone visiting us wanted a cup of Bailey's, and she went to pour it out, and it had solidified.
Oh, nice.
It was so old.
I guarantee you, because we had a liquor cabinet in our kitchen when I was growing up, that if we went back there now, all these years later, half the bottles that were there when I was a kid would still be there.
That's how kind of it was with my mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I mean, it was always there. And, you know, I may have accidentally had some alcohol underage.
Oh, no.
But I wasn't going to take the old stale stuff.
No. You went fresh.
Right.
Go fresh.
And don't you think your parents would notice if you took it?
My parents didn't drink. I didn't drink. We had it for when company came over.
That's
what my
mom.
Most of their friends weren't really big drinkers either. There was every once in a while some wine that would be drunk or, you know, but nothing major. Now, one of my friends, Tom O'Donnell, can I say his name? No?
If it's something good, you're going to say.
My friend who's not Tom O'Donnell.
Uh-oh.
There were parties at Tom's house almost every weekend. Not every weekend, but almost every weekend. And a lot of our friends thought, well, we'll take the alcohol out of the bottle. You pick your favorite alcohol, and then we'll replace it with water.
Well, it had to be clear, either gin or
vodka.
See,
they didn't know that part. I knew that part, and I wasn't a drinker, but they would just pour water into anything, clear, dark, you name it.
Really?
And I got to think Tom's family must have known.
What happened to my whiskey? It's clear.
Right. Right. It's not supposed to be clear.
Well, his parents must not have drunk that much.
They didn't drink a whole lot, but every, like, you'd look in their liquor cabinet. Go.
Everything's all, white.
Yeah.
Clear.
Everything.
Rather.
How do they not know this?
Dark rum? Nope.
Nope. Well, it's called dark rum, but as you can see right through it.
But I never locked up my liquor cabinet.
No.
And in fact, they're saying now that you should, you know, I had a couple of drawers filled with old prescriptions because, you know, you try ADHD meds for a while since second grade and sometimes you can't, they prescribe something else. So you have a whole drawer and that's what they're saying you should lock up now. Not the liquor cabinet, but the, you know, opioid cabinet. The painkill pills.
Is this still a thing or did this come and go? When I was a kid, half the houses we would visit, you know, like if they were friends of my dad's from work or they were relatives or something, half the houses we would visit, somewhere in their house, they had a bar set up. Like, is that still a thing? Do people still have bars in their houses?
Yeah. I do.
So you can pretend you're at Cheers when you're at home?
Well, what do you mean, like a bar cart or an actual bar?
No, it looks like a bar. I mean, there's a bar like you would go to.
I would have one in the basement if there was room in a second.
People so that's still a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. People I know who have brand new houses, they have always have a bar in the basement.
And they usually have a big one.
I just have a cart.
Yes.
Just a cart?
They usually have a big bar in the basement, and now the thing is there's a little bar in the kitchen with a sink off to the side, too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Double bars. Oh, that's what I should be doing. Double bar in it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Is this still a thing at bars? Because it seemed like everybody's house we'd go to that had a bar had this thing.
This is like the 40-year-old virgin questionnaire.
I don't know that this stuff still happens.
What?
All right, so there'd be this cute little thing that you would have on one of the shelves at your bar.
The little nut hut?
With a guy that would turn, like something would happen and he would turn and then he would go to the bathroom. Do you remember? He was like a little, like a guy made out of rubber. And then, like, I can't remember what you'd have to do if you'd push
have
a button.
He'd push his head down
push
or
his
something.
Head down, and then
he
he'd turn around and he would
pour a drink for you.
Yeah, that was a drink, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny.
I think it was Johnny Walker.
Yeah, I'm sure.
No,
slipping that right up.
So that was always amusing when you'd go to somebody's house and they had that, right?
I like the little nut hut that was at the
bar.
What
was the nut hut?
It was a little dispenser for beer nuts, I think. And it said little nut hut. And you could put a quarter in, turn the thing.
Those were the days, man.
And you could get beer nuts.
Oh, yeah? Why wouldn't somebody just put them in a bowl?
Because these were covered. You don't want people...
Because you didn't usually have a barmaid in your basement.
Oh.
No, this was at, like, real bars.
Oh, okay.
So, tell me this, because, like I said, my parents didn't really drink, and I'm a... So, if you'd go to somebody's house that had a bar, would you pretend you were, like, out at a bar, even though you were in the house?
No, but you'd pretend... someone would always be the bartender.
Right.
I know. My kids always love to do that. My in-laws have a bar in their basement, because their basement was remodeled, I think, in 1972, and it's wood paneling, and there's a pool table, and they have this little small bar with a refrigerator and a sink, so it's a wet bar.
Yeah.
And every time we're there, the kids go behind it, and they're like, what'll you have?
They pretend they're the bartender.
Yeah, because it's fun.
Oh, that's fun.
It is fun.
All right.
I didn't do that when I had a bar growing up.
I did. You had a bar growing up?
Well, yeah, we had a bar, and then we would just, in the basement. And then we would use it when we had parties and stuff.
Yeah.
We definitely used it, but not in that way.
Did you have the thing? It was a guy in a tux leaning against a street light, and it said ring bell for service, and you could pull the guy back and make him.
That would have been cool.
I remember one of my uncles had that.
Wow.
So he'd pull the guy back, and then he'd hit the... And he was obviously drunk. He was just a plastic guy, but he was drunk. I think from watching the other guy, you know, take a whiz all day.
Yeah.
It's like the craziest thing. I remember everyone we went to who had a bar had that same thing. And it's like, was this ever funny to anybody? But they all had it.
It's not even funny now.
No.
But it's tchotchke that everybody had.
Yeah, I guess
those big lights that were over a pool table, to me, they're not pretty either, but that's just what came with the pool table, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had one of those oil lights.
A lava light oil.
Oh, you
love
did?
It.
I wish we had saved it.
Like a lava lamp.
It looked like droplets of water.
With the strings that went diagonally, and then the oil would course down it.
You could touch it. You could touch the oil. It was not encased, and there was like usually a statue of a...
Judy, did you ever go to Dixie Square when Dixie Square
goddess.
Was up? Dixie Square had a giant one, like a two-story
did
one.
Did you lick it?
No, I didn't lick it. You're not supposed to lick it or go in it.
Well, wouldn't you touch it to see if it was really dripping stuff?
No, because it was like was like cordoned off so that you couldn't get that close to it. But I would marvel at it because I was used to seeing the one that was only 18 inches tall.
Yeah.
And there's one that's two stories
it's
tall.
It's like the movie Big.
We thought we were some pretty hot family on that one.
That
were you
excellent.
Rich? Because really,
We had an oil lamp.
And a bar. Come on. That's Richie's.
That's
the bar was later, though. Later, when I was in high school.
We never had a bar.
And then, did Stan Lee pretend he was the bartender? He did, right?
He didn't?
He didn't pretend.
He's not a big drinker, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah. It was my mom.
She was the bartender.
She was the big drinker.
Oh.
My dad hardly ever drank.
But the big drinker wouldn't be the bartender, right? They would be a bar patron, right? They wouldn't actually serve the drink.
Well,
so who served
who
as bartender?
We didn't really have a... We didn't do that.
No?
I mean, we just went and
got your
parties,
own.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like I said, it was later. And, you know, it's funny. When we had parties growing up as, you know, underage parties, we never took anyone's liquor. We just always bought it.
Well, right. You wouldn't take your parents because then they'd know you drank.
And I think it was a different time, of course. There were older people who must have had good IDs, and it was 18 for a long time.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
so
not for me. You're a little older.
It changed for me, but if you had older friends.
Yeah.
I had the worst fake ID that I got in the back of Rolling Stone magazine.
Oh my gosh.
And I ordered away for it, and it I think I said I was from Delaware or something because, you know, obviously you want an out of state one because they know what an Illinois looks like. It totally worked, and it totally shouldn't have.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
It would never work now. Never.
No.
They are
No, you
so
got holograms, you know.
Yeah, you
they
have to
check your retina.
Yeah,
my daughter had a fake ID that always worked.
Yeah.
Kylie had one that all I was with. I saw her pull it out, and it always worked.
But I mean,
she had
it looked
a fake
good.
ID.
Yeah, so did,
With the hologram, it was, you couldn't
tell.
It's
kind of like when they're 20, what are you going to say? You know, go to your room? They're like, yeah, bye, I'm going out.
I used to tell her, because her said she was from North Carolina, and I said, you should know things about North Carolina in case you're ever somewhere.
In case
they go,
the bouncer
What's the
does.
Capital of North Carolina?
Right.
Who's the governor of North Carolina? Name two cities in North Carolina. They won't ask that. I mean, you should know.
Wow, you're a cool dad.
Yeah.
I wouldn't let my kids have them, although my kids
we'll
don't drink.
We'll see when it happens.
I'm disappointed they don't have one, to be honest with you. I'll get him one. I'll get him. Michael's turning 19. Michael, I'll get you one.
Let me just remind everyone that getting caught with a fake ID is a felony.
Yes.
It's a felony.
Yep.
That's what I always tell.
Boy, things have changed.
My kids and their friends. You know, I'm always the downer. I don't care.
Yep.
Don't, everyone, I know you're going out, so just if anyone has a fake ID, it's a felony if you get caught. Just saying.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Bye.
There goes your college career. Bye-bye. Yep. Yeah.
Have a good time.
I'll call your mom later when you need bail money. I'm terrible.
You are.
I scare him, but then I didn't take it away.
No,
did
of course
I,
not.
I
no.
And I think, it, depending on the place, they just take the ID away. I don't think anybody's calling the cops. No,
especially if you're in a college campus.
Right.
Yeah. They let you drink underage there?
No, no. They take it away. And no, they will give you. You get a ticket. It's not like you get arrested, but you get a very expensive ticket.
Yeah.
Ah. Yes.
Yeah.
That's how the universities stay in business.
Mom,
trust
I overdrew
me.
On my checking account. Can you send $150?
Yeah.
Quick. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then some news from Judy, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Can I share a mystery with you? You like a good mystery, Miss Marple?
Miss who?
Miss Marple.
Oh, have you ever watched that?
I saw it when I was a kid. It's been a long time. Those were a series of books, Miss Marple books, back in the 1800s.
What was the name of it?
Miss Marple.
Oh.
M-A-R-P-L-E.
Didn't she just marry Prince Harry?
No, that's Meghan Markle.
Oh.
Not Marple.
Marple?
They would not allow him to marry someone named Marple.
Miss Marple was like, remember Murder, She Wrote? She was like an old-fashioned Jessica Fletcher from Murder, She Wrote. And I think Angela Lansbury, did she play Miss Marple at one point, maybe? Trying to think of who played her.
She appeared in 12 of Agatha Christie's crime novels.
Miss Marple did.
That's a bad name.
I'm trying to think of who played her in a movie. Did Elsa Lanchester play her, maybe? Does it say who played her?
Joan Hickson.
No, I'm not thinking of Joan Hickson.
Angela Lansbury.
Angela Lansbury.
Helen
played.
Hayes.
Helen Hayes. The First Lady of Theater, Judy.
Mm.
You know that.
Yes. Margaret Rutherford.
Oh, she was good.
Were those silent films back then?
No, Margaret Rutherford spoke. No. But yeah, these would have been out in the 1940s, maybe 30s or 40s, 40s probably. I don't remember.
I don't know either, but I never heard.
I was
of
busy
Marple.
Not being born for another 30 years. All right, so here's the mystery: in Canada now, human feet keep washing up on the beaches of Canada, and they don't know why.
That's a pedicure gone awry.
Yes, it is.
Where that little fish eat at your feet?
Yes,
which is so gross.
Yes. What kind
it's
of fish?
It's gotta hurt.
So you go in for a pedicure and fish just nibble at your...
Haven't you seen the disgusting videos on TV?
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Plus, I feel sorry for the fish.
Yeah, they don't want to do this.
Yeah, but that's gross.
Yeah.
Don't eat my feet.
They need a...
That's your skin.
They need to form a union,
Judy. Even worse.
Listen to what you're saying. You know, give them a pretzel or something.
Right.
They're fish. They
don't
like it.
You think they like
things.
It?
Yeah.
I think they don't give them anything else to eat, and they're forced into this foot eating.
Forced dead skin slavery.
I wouldn't do it. I would take a stand.
Fish will just take your place.
You think they would?
Yeah.
I think Dean had it done.
Dean did have it done.
He told us once he did it.
It doesn't seem like it's
Dean
even
Richards.
Feels good. It's... You know, you have little fish nipping at your feet.
Yeah. We go to our little family beach club that I've changed the name of for various reasons, so leave it at that.
Right.
And there was one year that it was super cold, and we were swimming in our little beach club in southern Illinois, and the fish were biting at your moles. And I have a mole on my neck. I have fair-skinned relatives, a lot of moles, and the fish thought it was food, and they were biting at it. They didn't have teeth, but still, it felt
Are you sure they didn't have teeth? Because most fish do.
Yeah, these were just little sunfish or something. Yeah. But it was like, you know, if I wanted a hickey, I'd get a new boyfriend. It was really
gross.
Were
you in a swimming hole?
No, it's a place. It's a lake. Huh. I don't know.
Where the rules don't apply.
It was a bad year.
I guess it was.
Trust me, I didn't want to go back the next year, but it's never happened again or since.
It just happened that one year?
We call it the mole summer.
Yeah, mole summer, sure. Yep, makes sense.
Summer of the mole.
Like nearly all the 13 human feet that have mysteriously washed up upon Canadian shores, this 14th foot, this is a story from just this week, this 14th foot has magically appeared unexpectedly on the banks of the Salish Sea in British Columbia. This time, a man walking on the beach...
I get it.
Well, you
walking
know,
foot.
You know he's not the victim of
no,
this.
No, he'd be hopping.
He'd be right. He would be hopping. This time, a man walking on the beach on Gabriola Island discovered the appendage last Sunday afternoon, trapped in a mass of logs, according to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
How long was the log?
Doesn't
about
say.
A foot long.
About a foot long.
It was in the log. Come on.
$5 foot long, Wendy. Subway is sponsoring this story, by the way. They're very proud. The law enforcement agency described the foot as disarticulated.
What does that mean? Sounds like a slam.
I'd go with disconnected.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you? Because that says it all. Disarticulated. Yeah. The law enforcement agency described the foot as disarticulated. That is to say, it was disconnected from the human body to which it had belonged. But we already knew that. We surmised that already. It did not specify if it was a left foot or a right foot. Well, how do they expect us to solve this crime if they don't give us pertinent details?
You can tell.
Well, yeah, it's easy to tell.
Is the big toe on the right or left?
Yeah, that's all you need to know.
Maybe for investigative reasons, they didn't want to release
good idea, Jude. That's a good idea. Curiously, foot number 14 was clad in a hiking boot. All but one of the others had been wearing athletic sneakers.
That narrows down the field.
Oh.
Were they male or female?
Jude, I haven't gotten to that part yet. All I've told you so far is that it is disarticulated. Not yet. So continues the mystery of the human feet floating ashore in the Pacific Northwest, a phenomenon that has captivated residents, scientists, and area law enforcement since back in 2007. I wouldn't want them captivated by it. I would want them to solve this.
Wait a second, this has been happening since 2007?
Yeah, and hasn't anybody reported a foot missing?
That's what they need to do is check the records to see if anyone's reporting this.
Unless and then you try to match them up. People and
I hadn't thought about
that. Yeah, there's no one to report anything missing because they're gone.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah.
They're dead.
Or it was a bad night of playing Twister and somebody got mad.
Maybe that's what it is.
Are they all? They all have shoes.
Left foot red for blood.
They all have shoes.
They all had sneakers, tennis shoes, except this last one had a hiking boot.
Which is why they weren't eaten by the fish, because they couldn't be.
That's so true.
The fish were like, I can't get this damn boot off.
Right.
I'm hungry.
Teaching their fish kids now how to untie shoes.
Yep.
So, yeah, there you go. The rest of the bodies are probably.
In August of 2007, not one, but two disembodied human feet, both right ones, to answer your question, Judy, were found on the islands in the Salish Sea, which is our network of coastal waterways located between Vancouver Island. I'm getting hungry. This story's making me hungry.
I was thirsty.
Gonna say that, but I thought there's no way.
I'm getting hungry, Wendy. I don't know what it is about the story, but I want a bear claw now. It's located between the Vancouver Island,
a foot long
sandwich, and Canada's westernmost province. Authorities were alarmed, it says here, which I would hope they would be, because this is very mysterious.
They've been alarmed since 2007.
Right. We're going on 11 years of them being alarmed.
How could they not
How about
have
solving the
this
case?
Yet?
It's very alarming that they've been alarmed that long without doing anything.
Very alarming. Two being found in such a short period of time is quite suspicious, says Corporal Gary Cox of the Oceanside Royal Canadian Mounted Police. I love his conviction. So this is rather odd, isn't it? This makes somebody want to solve
this. Picture him on a horse next to the ocean.
Right.
Sorry, no.
Probably. Finding one foot is like a million to one odds, but two, he says, is crazy. Over the next year, there's no immediacy at all with the Canadian Mounted Police.
They're like, let's wait and see what happens in
right.
the coming years.
Yes, why don't we wait a decade? And if this continues, we should really get on this. Over the next year, four more feet would appear in the region's inlets and beaches. Investigators logged each shoe model and size, which tended to range from men's blue and white Nike running shoes, size 11, to women's blue and white New Balance shoe, size 7.
All right, this is a school. These are school students with the colors. They're all blue and white. That's weird, guys.
I don't think a school, though, would make you wear a uniform tennis shoe, would they?
No, but if it's all blue and white, they're connected on a team or something.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
I think they're hikers.
They could be hikers.
In the wilderness somewhere and they're getting killed.
Oh. 1 foot, 2 foot.
Or they're falling into, you know,
an abyss.
From a cliff, because they're hiking on a cliff like everyone does, running. And they,
they're falling into, but into what is cutting their feet off?
A mountain lion.
No, and then they're
mountain lion.
Then they're just getting eaten by all the fish in the water, but they
can't. But not that last foot?
Because there's a shoe on them. It.
But they would have,
I have solved the problem.
They would have that's shoes alarming. On both feet, though. They wouldn't have shoes on just one foot.
Right. Well, you just said both feet wash up with shoes on them.
No, but they're two different people.
It's not a matched pair of feet.
They were both right
feet. I thought you said they found...
You know how some people go, I've got two left feet.
But this then guy the had other two one, right feet. You said 13 feet and the 14th washed up there. I thought they all matched.
No, they don't match.
They're all from different people. They're that's different what I'm people. Saying. There's that's
no
what's,
two,
that's what's alarming.
No 2 feet are the same?
No. Not in the story. No.
There are 14 separate feet.
Yes, right. Severed feet. Yes.
Now, this is the best part of the story.
It's been pretty good, I gotta tell
you. Police have now released photos of the feet to the public in hopes that they would strike a chord of recognition for friends or family members. If you saw a picture of, who's closest to you, Jimmy or one of the boys? Would you be able to identify his foot by a picture? You couldn't, could you?
The only quality Jim has is he can flip people off with his middle toe.
Is that why you married him?
Yes, but he'd have to be alive to show me he could do that.
Right.
But
rigor mortis wouldn't set in and have the middle toe sticking up.
Probably not.
But I'll let him show you next time. It's pretty impressive.
I would love to see
feet
that.
Are pretty distinct.
No.
And aren't they going to show him with the shoe on? Because that would be a pretty key piece of evidence.
Judy, it doesn't
Here's
say
an
that.
Idea. Look at the back of the tongue and maybe their mom wrote their name in the shoe.
Yeah, and I mean, if someone you know is missing, every person who knows someone who's missing should be looking at those. Should be looking at them for the past 10 years.
Right.
If Jim was missing and I saw a collection of feet, I would be able to point out which was his.
Out of how many?
14. Like
they've got a.
If Jim was missing
14.
And all of a sudden 14 feet showed up, I would be able to determine if one of those 14 was his.
And here, enough to say maybe that's his, and then they do DNA and we find out.
Yeah, I mean, why don't they do DNA?
It's not that hard.
Fingerprints. Toe prints. Why don't they do that?
Just DNA.
Where is this again?
Matter.
This is in Canada.
Remind me not to get lost in Canada because they'll never find me.
And I wonder where, you know, since they're washing up on these inlets, it could maybe be a wide range of area that they're, you know, maybe that's the problem too. It could be anywhere that they're coming from.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. Yeah. I don't know that particular sea very well.
They can't determine if they're Canadian citizens or not just by this, right? Can they?
I don't know
what they're...
Do Canadians have curb feelers?
Oh, my God. I have to go home. We're late.
No, Jude.
You guys are insane.
A quick break, and then we will solve more mysteries.
No, we won't.
It's Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys.
This is Maple.
Marple.
More after Maple actually makes sense because she's Canadian. The Canadian Miss Marple is Miss Maple. All right, more after this, Bill and Wendy WGN.
We're going to get 2 minutes of overtime today. Where are you going to spend it? Add it to your $20
this
daily allowance.
This is excellent. Rolling in dough. All right, everybody, that's it. We gave you the bonus hour and a bonus 2 minutes. You're welcome.
Why didn't you play Footloose? That would have been a good thing for us to end. Everybody Footloose.
Brilliant.
14 Footloose.
All right, tomorrow another show. I promise. Same bat time, same bat channel. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.